Let's start off with a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for just how much you're here with us, God, that nothing about our journey is by accident or being asked of us by our own strength, God, but you really design life to be with you, God. And so I thank you so much that we get this companionship with something that we can never find anywhere else, God. I just pray for everybody who's gone home. Pray for those who can't make it, God. And I just pray for the way that your spirit would rest on all of us, God, to be equipped to do everything that you're laying on our hearts, God, whatever seeds are being planted and whatever has been watered, God. I just thank you that it all glorifies your name, God. I pray this in your almighty and powerful name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What's up, guys? What's good? It's funny because it's after 1, and this is kind of like my prime hour. Like anything I'm doing like towards 1 a.m., I'm either going to like keep doing for a few more hours, or like this is like the turning point where I'm like, oh yeah, well, you should probably like stop now, like go to bed because you got to get up like early and take 2 trains. All right. So if you guys looked at the itinerary, my topic is In His Grace. And so I want to start off with the statement, we're all accountable to giving grace both to ourselves and to others. Under God's grace, we're accountable for giving grace to others as well as ourselves. So let's open up our Bibles to Romans 5. We'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Jump down to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might probably dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. So grace is a really, it's funny. It's like one of those simple things that we kind of mess up all the time. You know, it's kind of like love. Like we can think we understand it, but it's actually something really difficult to live out. And I know personally for me, it was actually only a few years ago that I really kind of just started identifying in the Bible, like what are just certain things that only comes from God that you just couldn't find from like another man or like another author writing a story. And grace is definitely one of those things just because it only comes from God. It's completely unmerited. You can't earn it. So something so pure, something so righteous can't come from an imagination. It can't come from like a building that we can architect ourselves, but it really comes from the living God. And I know even personally for me, I struggle with grace and even figuring out kind of what does that look like. Because I know for me, I can tend to feel like once I start to get good at something, I'm like, okay, cool. This is like my thing. And this has been my thing for a while, but that's not true. And I think that kind of speaks to a lot of our strengths. Sometimes we can think, oh, this is my thing. This is what I'm good at. So I get to determine like who are like the other people who are good at it. And so even just thinking to like my relationships, I know I've just have been learning a lot about what does grace mean. And so when we look at this scripture, we even kind of see that like there's grace in the way that Jesus died for us. And that can be something that we feel so common with, but we sometimes forget that he died specifically when we were never going to be our best selves and when we weren't even going to be close to our best selves. Like, he died when we were going to be our worst. And I think that's so interesting because, you know, for me, I wasn't born yet when Jesus died. And so for me, it used to trip me out. I was like, well, maybe I could kind of get there to, like, that best self. And, like, maybe I will have made it worth it. But, you know, if it's grace, again, it's just something that can't ever be man-made. It completely comes from God. And so I heard something interesting. I heard two people talking about a contract between companies. And somebody said that a contract is kind of like the coming together of two minds. And when we look at the verses that we just read, the word reconciliation kind of made me think of a contract. You know, but instead of the coming together of two minds, it's the coming together of two lives. It's God's life and our life and all of humanity. And so that's the thing. Whenever there's a contract, whenever there's reconciliation, the people involved are accountable to living that out. You know, if I have conflict with my mom and we agree to reconcile going forward, we got to live out some things that honor that reconciliation. So that's why I said at the beginning, you know, under God's grace, we're accountable to giving grace to ourselves as well as to others. So tonight, I want to look at three passages that kind of help us practically look at how do I give grace and what does that look like. So you guys can open your Bibles to John chapter 2. Did somebody say, come, John? Gotcha. All right, so we're going to be in John 2, chapter 12. Oh, sorry, John chapter 2, verse 12. Although John 12 is really great. I mean, I love the whole book of John.
I know.
Okay, so let's start in John 2, verse 18. We're going to be in verse 18. I'm sorry if you're journaling and I made you cross out. That would drive me nuts.
Two becomes an eight.
Oh, nice. See, that's grace. Thanks, Bobby. Okay. So it says, the Jews then responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. One of the ways that I see grace in this passage is that, you know, grace means that people are only going to understand things after a certain time or events have passed. I think sometimes one of the reasons why it's hard to give grace is because we have our own timing for how we want ourselves to understand or get things or how we expect other people to do that. And when you look at this passage, you see this moment kind of being, it's written with this reflective tone, as in it's the future looking back on a past event. That when Jesus was speaking, the disciples didn't kind of get what he was saying at first. And so they're recalling, hey, I remember what Jesus was talking about when he mentioned this. And so I think the first part of being able to give grace is to really have God's understanding of time. You know, I think we sometimes feel really pressured and afraid of time, but time is actually a gift of God's patience to learn, that we all need that learning process. And so when it comes to even giving each other accountability, we have to have God's sense of timing in order to do that well. I think even an example that was this summer, one of my new friendships from the year involved me discipling a brother who's really become one of my, I love all my friends, but he's just been like, you know, he's like in there. But we have had some really difficult conversations that we were kind of revisiting multiple times throughout 2018. And that was really frustrating because it's hard when you just want the best for somebody and you're not even doing it in a forceful way, but you just know the difference between what's good for them and what they should understand versus what they kind of refuse to acknowledge and come to understand. And that can be difficult in any relationship, whether it's the kingdom, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your family or your friends. And so I really struggled because we would meet once a week to not make it intense conversations. And they always had like a clear purpose, a clear ending. And we would like look at the word. We would both kind of be working out what is God asking us to do through this. And then it would kind of just be the same thing as if we hadn't gone through that yet. And it felt really discouraging because I really loved this friend. But I was also like, God, I have no idea what to do. But I was also like trying not to freak out and not be judgmental, because those things will actually undo the grace that the person's meant to fill. So I remember just kind of being prayerful that, God, I know that I've done what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what's going to happen next. I just know the direction I think you would like this to go in. And then it was so funny. We had several meetups for that month. And there were times we would just talk in between the week, and he just start, like, things just start clicking for him. And it wasn't anything that I said after those conversations. It wasn't anything that I told somebody else to go tell. He just kind of started to understand. And he was initiating those conversations without me having to bring them up. And I was kind of like a little shocked. I was like, who have you been talking to? But in my head, I was like, I know it's been God who's been like talking to you, actually. So I share the scripture to say that, you know, for the disciples, you don't want to, it's just part of the journey. It's part of the learning process. That's how we can give grace to each other, especially when we're holding each other accountable to living like a righteous life together, or whenever we're trying to fulfill goals. So now we can turn to Philippians chapter 2. Thanks. All right, so if we go to verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now, how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." I think sometimes when it comes to grace, like I said before, we can kind of like get in touch with our strengths and then think that we get to be the author of like how good those strengths are. But what you see from the scripture is that it's actually God who empowers us to do the things and be the person that he wants us to be. And so we really have to submit to that in order to really be in touch with grace is. Like if we have too much puffed up knowledge of ourselves or somebody else's flaws, like if we're focusing on that too much, we undercut the power of grace. And we don't want to undercut or get in the way of what God can do. You know, we want to be on God's side, but to do that, you have to be submitted to God. You have to be a team player with God. And I think that can really, again, grace is something we can understand really easy as like a concept, but it's really hard to live it out. Just even thinking about Jesus' relationship with the disciples, you know, to be going along with people that you're constantly teaching who don't get things. And yet these are the people that eventually you're trusting the kingdom with, the church with, for when you're gone and when he's awaiting his return. And I think that's something we all go through. Like, it's hard to give grace, especially when it's at your inconvenience, especially when it's even at your detriment. Because not everything that we give grace to is sometimes like, oh, like, you ate my lunch, so I guess I'll eat something else. Sometimes it's more like, oh, you need money right now, and I actually have something that I could rather use that for. But that's why God calls us to deny ourselves, because that's truly where he gets to live through us and where that fruit gets born. And so when we talk about grace being kind of the cornerstone of our reconciliation with God, it really takes that submission in order to do it. And so we have to constantly be in touch with that power, because it's not our own. We don't own that power. Like, by God's grace, he literally made our bodies and our lives with that capacity to have his power, but it's on borrowed time. It's all his. It has his brand. It has his name. It literally has his blood over it. So we can't claim any ownership of that. We have to praise God for every amount of grace for what we get to do, but also what we hope to come as well. And so let me take you to the last scripture back in Romans. I sweat a lot like when I publicly speak, but it's like all good. It's just my body doing what it needs to do. Alright, so let's go to verse 20. But not the first sentence, the second sentence. It says, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. And I think that's something that's really interesting. Like, think about your sin, and while you were sinning, there was actually grace simultaneously going on that was actually larger than the sin that you were doing. Like, if sin was an inch, your grace the entire time was actually a mile. And so I love the scripture because what it says basically is that sin will never outrun grace. Right. That the length of sin will never overpower the length of grace. And so what if in our relationships we actually stopped being surprised by sin? Like, imagine the sin that you do. God already knows the sin that you are going to do. Like, there's nothing you can do in front of God, before God, that would catch him off guard. And so I wonder, what if in our relationships, when we're sharing about sin with each other, we didn't have so much surprise to what somebody was sharing. Like, if we're really sinners, we should kind of understand that, like, the spectrum of sin and what could happen is pretty wide. And I've had the privilege, really, to see that lived out this year in a group chat with some friends where we've been, like, confessing sins. And it's funny, like, it kind of just start escalating the things that people would start sharing. And then you start seeing some, like, really wild things. But, you know, after a while, when you get used to the wild, there's just nothing to surprise you anymore. And it's not done in a way that undermines the sin or the consequence of it, but it doesn't take away that person's humanity of what's going on. And so what if we had that grace to really say, you know what, I can accept you for the full capacity of who you are. I think that's what would really transform relationships. I think that that's part of God's light in each and every one of us. And I've seen that in my own life, because people would sometimes walk up to me and just start saying stuff about their life that I was like, that's a really deep thing or a really deep, dark secret that I appreciate that you would share that with me, but I wouldn't be saying this, but this was just like my reaction. Because you don't want to discourage them from doing it again. So I would sometimes see the vulnerability that people would have when they're really in that space to not be judged. To really know that who they are, both in flaws and beauties, are affirmed simultaneously. I didn't know the word for that. That's why I was like, beauties, I guess? Like, but let's even go back to what we were looking at in Romans chapter 5. I'm not going to read from there, but just to reference, you know, God did die for us as sinners. And so when we're giving grace in our one another relationships, it's just important that we let grace do its work. It's not going to be transformative if we're not giving it the time it needs for God to give understanding. It's not going to be transformative if we don't believe in our mindset and our actions that this is all by God's will and power, not our own. And if we really embrace a wide spectrum of grace, I think we would be able to love people's sins in a really transformative way. All right, that's it, guys.